Good. Thank you, everyone. Welcome back. Again, my thanks to our the chairs of the breakout sessions. Also, thanks to the facilitators, the note takers, some of the trustees that joined the breakout sessions. As I mentioned before, really these are the efforts made by staff. It's an enormous amount of work, and so thank you very much, everyone, for participating and supporting the breakout sessions. We'll hear back from the chairs in about an hour's time. That gives them, I hope, enough time to try to compile the views expressed in the breakout sessions. So so for the four chairs, we'll come back to you in about 1 hour. Now we have, I think Rachel is going to take us. So we've got criteria for assessing the financial reporting issues that could be added to the board's work plan. And that's followed by financial reporting issues that could be given priority in the board's work plan. Rachel, I think you will take us through this, please.
Yes, that's right. Thank you very much. We're now moving on to agenda paper 4, which deals with the criteria that the board are proposing to use to assess the priority of financial reporting issues to add to its work plan as part of the overall agenda consultation. The criteria themselves are set out on slide 4 of the agenda paper, and there are 7 criteria that the board is proposing to use. They look at the importance of the matter to the investors, whether there's a deficiency in current reporting, the types of companies and jurisdictions affected by a particular reporting issues, and how pervasive the matter is. Those first 4 criteria are taken from the due process handbook of the ISB. The final 3 criteria that the board is proposing to use have arisen out of the work that we've done on previous agenda consultations, where we found that these are actual practical considerations that the board has used in assessing the priority of particular projects. So they look at the interaction with other projects that are on the board's agenda, the complexity and feasibility of a potential project, and also the capacity of the board and its stakeholders to progress any potential project. All of these, of course, are covered by an overarching consideration, which is that a potential project must be able to meet the needs of investors while taking into the account the cost of producing the information. What I would say is that, of course, the criteria are actually quite subjective. This is going to be more of an art than a science when the board comes to actually put together its work plan and its agenda. It's in the past not proved possible for us to prioritize any of these criteria. They are, as I said, necessarily subjective. With that little bit of background, I'd like to hand over to you for your comments. The questions that we have for you are on slide 5 of agenda paper 4, which is, do you think the board has identified the right criteria to assess the priority of potential financial reporting projects? Why or why not? And are there any additional criteria that the board should consider in assessing the priority of projects? With that, I'd like to hand it over to the council.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Rachel. Okay, so we've got the questions that Rachel pointed to on slide 5. We are on criteria. That's agenda item number 4. So those criteria are set out on slide 4, and then the questions that I'd like to hear your views on are on slide 5. Let's first hear from Bileng, and then I'll ask Udi. Hi, Bileng.
Thank you, Bill. We understand that setting an agenda is an exercise in balancing competing issues. So to assist in this regard, we suggest the criteria to be separated between those that are essential and those that are nice to have. So on the second question, we have no criteria to add into the list. However, we propose the following as the essential criteria in orders of importance. First is whether there is a deficiency in current reporting. For example, this could be identified through gaps in standard, as in the case of a BCUCC, or evidence that many consider to be unsatisfactory, such as through widespread use of alternative performance measure, or the issues that have been brought to the interpretation committee. The second in order of importance is the matter to the investors, evidence through consultation with a broad range of investors across a broad range of jurisdiction. And thirdly, the capacity of the board and its stakeholders to progress the potential project, because there's no point to take on a project without the necessary resources. So once these criteria are met, the other criteria can be used to select projects for the work plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Bi-Ling. Clear. Udi, let's hear from you, and then I'll ask Osman to take the floor. Udi.
Thank you, Bill. When I look at it, and I think that they are missing some criteria. And the two criteria that I think that they are missing, first of all, is how old are the standards that they already have currently? That is, it's not just what is the deficiency, because some of these standards that are current in IFRS, such as, and the two of these projects are on Agenda Paper 5, is intangibles or foreign currencies. Exchange currencies. So these two standards, and you can see, for instance, on intangibles, how many questions came to the interpretation committee during the last decade on IS 38, for instance. Does that standard still talk to the new modern standards and to the new economy? Either, and I mentioned it earlier in the breakout session, to how do you deal with blockchain and digital assets? Can intangible be remeasured? Because this standard is very old, from 23 years ago, I think, or something like that. Or can a functional currency be looked at in a different way? Because, you know, that hierarchy was good 20 years ago. Is it still the right way to look at it? So I'm missing the criteria of how old is the standard, and does it still talk to new modern standard and to the new economy? So this is one criteria that I'm missing. The other criteria is, of course, I'm guessing is, does the project and should the project talk to the new board, the SSB, and how they should connect between them? So I do think that this criteria also, although this paper probably was written before the ESG thing started to move forward, but I'm guessing these are the two criteria that I'm missing.
Thank you very much, Udi. Osman, and then Ken. Osman, please.
Thank you. I'm not going to take long, actually, because Udi covered, stole my thunder almost, in terms of when he spoke about the how old is the standard. I wasn't thinking of it that way, but I think it was really well articulated. What I was thinking about is, maybe it's covered on the deficiency in current reporting, but, you know, new transactions, new phenomenon in the new economy that may not be covered by accounting standards currently, or may not be sufficiently covered. And he mentioned, you know, blockchain, cryptocurrency. That's at the top of my mind when I have this comment about, you know, currently the recommendation is to think about it as an intangible asset. Is that really realistic as it becomes more and more established, as we get perhaps central bank digital currency? So I think that the gaps in reporting also need to be considered as criteria. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Osman. Hi, Ken. Over to you, and then we'll hear from Torsten.
Hi, thanks. I guess working in a budget office, I'm kind of familiar with the art of making trade-offs. And my observation here is that the top four criteria that are proposed, There's a lot of overlap and similarity between them. I could imagine a problem could meet all four of those criteria, because it could be pervasive deficiency, which is important to investors. And so, in some ways, I'm a little bit concerned that we're just saying the same thing in different ways rather than having a separate criteria. In other words, I suspect we've made it a bit too complicated for ourselves. So that's the first thing. The top four, as I said, are about the attractiveness of the proposal. The bottom categories are about the achievability and the affordability of it. In that respect, you know, when I'm thinking about something like cryptocurrency, I suspect it's not achievable at the moment. I think it's achievable maybe in a few years' time when you've got central bank mandated currencies. But at the current stage of the development, I'm not sure that a standard is achievable that will have longevity in that space. I think it could do and would do, but whether that's complexity and feasibility, the wording I would use is achievability. But I think it's just a little bit complicated. That's my view of the criteria. This is enough.
Cheers. Thank you, Ken. Thorsten, over to you, please. And then Martin. Thorsten, please. Voice Thorsten. Ah, okay. Thorsten? I think you're muted. No. All right. Thorsten, we're going to come back to you. Can I ask everyone, please, if you're not speaking, please use your mute button. Thorsten, we're going to try in a moment. We'll come back to you. But for now, let's go to Martin. Hello, Martin.
Yeah, hi, Bill. I agree with the four criteria, no doubt about that. For me, the only aspect would be how to measure these criteria. Because some of them might be very subjective. There's a saying, if you ask two people, you get three answers. So that could be, a challenging task. For sure, some of these might be measured by outreach, but then you need a very, very transparent way how to come to that prioritization.
Good, thank you very much. Thorsten, should we try to come back to you?
I did unlock and now I'm back. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Thanks. When I thought about these priority criteria, to me there are two big issues. First one is there a standard already? If not, I have to think about the upcoming ICAEW Information for Better Markets conference this year. It's about accounting standards and the two difficult box. So essentially, one of the issues is, what are the costs and benefits of leaving an issue unresolved or leaving an area unstandardized? So that to me seems a criterion. Is it potentially useful sometimes, even if there is no standard on a certain topic or transaction? Would it be beneficial to leave that area unregulated, for example, because it can be expected that a market solution might develop that is actually going to be providing decision useful information? And then the other case could be, if there is already a standard, and that goes back to some of the earlier comments, what kind of evidence would suggest that it's deficient? And I think without having an answer to these two questions, it seems that clarifying these two aspects, you know, when to close a gap and when to revise a standard that's deficient, clarifying these two aspects may help operationalize this prioritization process to some extent. Thank you. Good.
Thank you. Saskia, I think it's your turn, and then we'll hear from Feng. Saskia, please.
Yes, thank you, Bill. First, it's a question, I think, to Rachel, is about, she was referring to the three additional practical criteria, which came out of the previous agenda consultations and the work of the board. So is it the intention that they will be included in the due process handbook? So that is my question. And then regards to criteria, we would suggest, and I think Bileng made a similar comment in a way, and perhaps Torsten as well, that the use of non-cap information would be another criteria that could be used to see if there is evidence of gaps or problems. And the other one is the evidence of structuring opportunities, whether that exists and whether that there is a need to address those. So, thank you.
Thank you, Saskia. Feng, the floor is yours, and then we'll hear from Vijay. Feng?
Okay. Thanks, Bill. As Mr. Lee has another meeting, so I'm joining this meeting on behalf of him. We want to share one observation and two suggestions on this aspect. We generally agree with the proposed criteria, but according to our observation, it could be very complicated for the board to apply because these criteria are all quantitative criteria. How to measure those criteria and determine the relative importance of a certain criterion requires judgment, and the judgments could vary under different circumstances. Besides, we have some concern on the first criterion. We would suggest the importance of the matter to investors with the usefulness of decision-making to stakeholders. The main reason is to avoid oversizing the needs of investors while overlooking the needs of other stakeholders. Otherwise, some financial and reporting issues that other stakeholders' concern may be neglected. Another suggestion is to take the cost-benefits assessment of the potential projects into consideration when perform the assessment. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, Feng. Vijay, your comment is clear.
Yeah, thanks
very much. Would you like to expand on it or?
No, thanks, Bill. I made my comment in the chat box.
Okay.
The office is acknowledging it's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Nigel, over to you and then Giuseppe. Nigel?
Yes, Bill. Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. I think one of the things that that we believe should also be a consideration is whether or not there is an identifiable scope to a particular project. And that is identifiable scope in terms of the work to be done, as well as who will perform the work. We think those are also very important criteria that that can determine whether or not there is a solution to be put forward.
Good. Thank you, Nigel. Giuseppe. Oh, I'm sorry. You told me before. Sorry. Okay. Giuseppe, thank you for your contribution. Anything to add? If not, we will go to Garth. Let's hear from Garth, please.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, just to say I read the comments of Ms. Fung about the importance of matter to investors is cited, but I think to the various stakeholders and the cost-benefit criteria as well, I think is important, particularly as we look at the capacity of the stakeholders that should encompass not only the ability to do the work, but also the financial resources needed to enact a standard. I think the devil is in the detail around what is meant by a deficiency, and there may be something there which is around something like a commonly accepted deficiency, or that it's commonly recognized or something like that, or is material perhaps or something like that. I did wonder whether the criteria, how pervasive the matter is actually covered by all the others. So I was struggling to think of issues that would be pervasive but wouldn't meet any of the other criteria. So I'm not sure whether that is really needed or not. Lastly, just I think to build on something that Udi was mentioning earlier, I think we should also consider the longevity of the likely solution. because what everybody doesn't like is if you're continually having to restate accounts for the next new standard that comes into force. And if we think about the multiple standards that have been issued recently and the restatements every year, we have restatements that nobody likes those. So the longevity of the solution, I think, is important. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Hi, David. Over to you, and then we will hear from Giuseppe.
Yeah, I just keep it short. I think the criteria are just right. I mean, the overlap you cannot quantify. It does not matter. You will not be able to quantify to measure this exactly. I think it's just the idea should just be to have a frame such that you take agenda decisions in a way that you argue consistently from one decision to the next with similar parameters being assessed, but it's not about quantification. It's not about an exact determination. That's all not necessary. And so I think what we have seen, what you presented is just a good, it just gives us all the important perspectives, but you don't need to phrase this in much more detail. I think it's just about right how it comes across, and I agree with Garth before that maybe investors should be exchanged against stakeholders, also to be a bit more aligned with the sustainability board focus, to have a bit of a broader public interest accountability.
Good, thank you, David. Giuseppe.
Yeah, just a general consideration. In considering the proposed criteria, I would also, supporting what has been said, consider the longevity of the standards. But in that respect, since IFRS is principle-based, in principle, a good standard should last a long time. And maybe it should be adapted in its interpretation rather than rephrased. If you take the analogy of the Constitution, maybe that's not appropriate, but some countries, including the United States, have a Constitution that's pretty old and nobody is actually thinking of rewriting it. Maybe the analogy is overstretched, but I think that with something that is principle-based, it should be written so that it can actually encompass new situations in the economy and doesn't need to be adapted all the time or redone all the time.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Good morning, Ellen. Over to you, please.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning. It's morning in DC. I just want to make a short comment. I just wonder if there's any chance that the criteria listed are more geared towards standard setting, while the ISB's work is more than just standard setting. It includes many other aspects. So in the end, I hope to see that the criteria reflect the full spectrum of the ISB's work. And the other thing is that I agree with some of the views by people that there may be merit in ranking these criteria by importance or setting essential ones and peripheral ones. So thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Sorry, I'm just scribbling my notes. Okay. I think everyone had the chance to take the floor. Rachel or Neely, what are your reactions, responses? I mean, there was one question. It was really just out of for clarity. Are the three new criteria, are those part of the proposal, or are they, what is the status of the three quote unquote new criteria?
I think perhaps calling them new criteria isn't quite right, because we have used them in previous agenda consultations to help the board make its decisions, and that they proved to be sort of practical criteria that we found useful. In terms of their status, they're not the criteria that are included in the due process handbook. The ones included in the due process handbook are the first four criteria on the slide. At the moment, we haven't, what we think is in a way that the due process handbook sets out the essential criteria for a project to be added to the agenda. And these are just additional ones that we find practically useful in the past. We are, of course, consulting on those criteria as part of this agenda consultation, and we would like feedback on whether people think that those are appropriate, the right sort of criteria for the board to be thinking about when looking at the agenda. In direct response to Saskia's question, we don't at this stage have any plans to add them to the criteria and embed them within the due process handbook, but of course we'd be interested in feedback on whether people think that is necessary as a result of this.
Good. Thanks very much, Rachel. Any other reactions? I'll try to summarize in a moment, but do you have any other reactions, anything you'd like to respond to?
Yes, I think I heard a few people talking about the potential complexity of the criteria, and I think that's really good feedback for us to perhaps have a look at, because we do know that there are overlaps in terms of some of those criteria. The other area that I think I'd like to comment on was how we assess these and being subjective criteria, and what we would be really interested in comment letters that people send us through is any evidence that they have to support particular aspects of the criteria. So for example, if you have evidence of a deficiency in financial reporting, or evidence about the types of companies that are being affected, all of that would be useful feedback for us when we go back to the board with recommendations on the agenda and recommendations against these criteria.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thank you for that, Rachel. I mean, that's a good point. Several council members brought that up. They did mention that criterion and the deficiency criterion, the need for evidence, and that, so that's good advice to the council members as they respond to the consultation. Let me take a stab at trying to summarize. So, Rachel, you already clarified those three criteria at the bottom of slide four. They're not part of the due process handbook. They are. You know, there's more of a practical aspect to them that have been used before, and they'll be part of the upcoming consultation. You mentioned the complexity, the overlap that some members mentioned. I just reiterated the need for that deficiency criterion, the need for evidence to document to detail what those deficiencies are. Some of the common threads, I like the fact that, you know, people pointed to the fact that these are subjective. I think that was Rachel's comment at the outset. Subjective, more of an art than science. I thought Udi's point that was about missing, on the question of are there any missing criteria, that was... I think an interesting point that was echoed by a few council members. And that is, are the criteria, are standards still fit for purpose? And do they address the changes that we've seen, say in terms of transactions? Now I'm thinking about blockchain, digital currencies. So on the one hand, are they still fit for purpose? But on the other hand, can they still address current transactions? And what about criterion for ESG? And that was something else that other members echoed. Are the criteria, do they align very well with ESG considerations? Of course, with the E part is something that is being very actively explored by the trustees, and that's the on sustainability, the sustainability topic. But in general, do the criteria align well with ESG considerations? I've mentioned blockchain, new transactions. The evidence that a deficiency exists. The complexity, the inevitable overlap. I think that's how David referred to them. It's difficult to have a precise quantification, and that aligns with Rachel's opening comment about this being more of an art than a science. And again, the alignment with the alignment of the criteria with the potential work, or I shouldn't. I guess I should still say potential, since a sustainability standards board hasn't yet formed. It certainly looks like it's moving in that direction. But how well do the criteria relate, or how well do the criteria align with the work of the future work of the SSP? Okay, thank you. Thank you for that, Rachel. Is there any closing thoughts on the criteria?
I think just one additional thing that we heard from a couple of people that I think is really important and is emphasized in our overarching criterion is the sort of the cost benefit analysis in terms of whether a potential project will meet investor needs while taking into account the costs of producing the information. I think that again came out as a point. I think in the chat we have Osman had a question. I don't know if he still has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. And Rachel, thanks for that. I actually highlighted there was a point that Ms. Feng and Garth had raised, the cost benefit and the analysis and the importance to investors. Sorry, I skipped over that. Osman, yes, please, over to you.
Just very quickly, just picking up something that Ellen said, which is very interesting about this criteria. And she asked the question whether this was for new standards only, which I think is very interesting, because clearly the list of projects includes post-implementation reviews, but then if you look at the criteria, you wonder how that would get into being a project based on this criteria. So I think some clarification of what the definition of a project is for the purpose of this criteria would be helpful. And by the way, just a personal view from me is you know, that post-implementation review it's always been of interest to me that it's done by the ISB itself. I wonder if it should be done by some independent third party. That's a separate discussion.
Thank you, Osman. I should add that you know how the process works. After our meeting, the staff and I prepare a summary. We circulate it to council members. We get feedback, and then we circulate it to the board, to trustees. That period where we ask council members for the feedback, that's as important for me as it is for everyone else, because then I have a chance to go back over my notes to make sure everything I scribbled has been captured in the summary. So I apologize if I skip over some things. Sometimes I can't read my own writing, but anyway, neither here nor there. Osman, thanks for your comment. If there's no other reactions, responses, observations, I think we'll move on to agenda number 5. That's areas that should be given priority in the work plan. Rachel, would you like to say a few introductory remarks?